Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You know the guy next to me is the one and only Justice Mosqueda. You can find him on social media at JUMOSQ. You can find him on acmepackingcompany.com. Justice, welcome in. How the heck are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm in Oakland, California right now. It is perpetually 60 to 70 degrees. I really can't believe this place exists. And I have a new niece, which is why I'm hanging out over here. So sorry for the one-day delay, folks.
Unacceptable.
We originally had this planned for Monday, but me and my girlfriend could not communicate on what was Tuesday, what was tomorrow, when baby stuff is flying around and it feels like no one's gotten any sleep in forever. So
I just need you to readjust your priorities, pack a day, then family, and you know, just kind of figure that out. But
soon.
No,
soon. I get back on Thursday morning. So
there you go. Well, congratulations to you and your family. That's unbelievably awesome, and more than happy to wait the extra day so that you guys got to experience all of that. So happy for you and your family. And again, congrats to everybody involved. We obviously have a preseason game in the book since we've talked last. We have a joint practice coming up on Thursday. We've got another final preseason game coming up on Saturday. So we've got a ton to dig into. Let's start with Packers Colts. I know you were able to nerd out on all of the film already. And let me just start with, what were your kind of key takeaways from this game?
My key takeaways were, week one was the unboxing, right? And week two was, I'm very whelmed. Feels like we got most of what we knew out of the bag already. I think certain things are interesting. Donovan Jennings continuing to struggle, right? The Colts ran a lot of three-man stunts where, D-tackle Deion on one side, they're slanting inside, and then the linebacker would loop around. Jennings did a really bad job of passing all that stuff off. We've seen that in the past with even a guy like Royce Newman, but I think Newman was probably better than what we got in Donovan Jennings right now. Are we putting Kadeem Telfort back on the watch list? Are we looking at waiver wire after cutdowns? Like, I think anything is an option at that ninth offensive line spot. Obviously the Lloyd stuff sucks, right? Like,
yep.
The guy just cannot stay healthy. That's a bummer, and it's probably a path for Emmanuel Wilson to make this team. I know that was, a lot of these injuries, right? We talked about, like, hey, there's pressure points on this roster and stuff like that. How are you going to keep all these guys? Injuries are solving a lot of these questions at this point. We'll see how many of these guys go on IR. Two guys can go on IR the day of cutdowns, but then you can do things like, maybe you keep Marshawn Lloyd on the 53-man roster for a day, and then you put him on injured reserve. You don't have to designate them to return that second, right?
Yep.
The day after. And you can create roster space to go back and sign a guy or pick a guy up off of waivers or however you want to do it. There's options out there roster construction-wise. Isaiah Simmons, that was not a one – one deal bad outing against the Jets.
Nope.
He sincerely might be the worst football player on this team.
It was bad.
I don't know what else to say, because it's so weird. I mean, obviously things change a lot, right? Where, like, I know I've talked to coaches and they're like, we're not even evaluating running backs before the pads come on.
Yep.
So much of that job is physicality, right? It's something like running backs before contact average like a yard a carry or something like that. Everything else is made up on the back end. So why would you even evaluate that? I guess running linebackers kind of like that in a different way, right? Where that physicality needs to show up. There's a lot of things that it's like, so like that week one against the Jets, right? He's trying to do, he's trying to robot the crosser, all that stuff. We explained that last week, right?
Yep.
And those are like conversations where you can have that stuff fixed. But there's a lot of times like he's hesitant to make a block in the open or make a, you know, square tackle in the open field. That's that, like, he likes chasing stuff down from the side. But if you're squared up with a guy, like, he's not triggering like he needs to. And I'm starting to get worried about that because Simmons is one of the weird things, because we talk about him as a special teams ace, but I don't think we explain what that means enough, right?
Yep.
He is rare in that he is a linebacker who can play defensive back spots on special teams, right? So linebackers usually are in like punt protection. He's not in punt protection. He's the guy gunning the punts, right?
Yep.
On kickoff team, he's playing those spots. On return team, he's playing those spots. So his value is, well, you don't have to roster that many defensive backs then. We're going to keep five safeties if Zane Anderson is healthy.
Yep.
We're going to keep five corners. So, like, is that actually, like, even more valuable in a special teams role than what Christian Welch is doing? Probably not.
Right?
Yeah. So there's interesting stuff like that. I just can't believe this guy was pushing Isaiah McDuffie for the third linebacker spot. From what I've seen, it should have been Tyron Hopper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're starting to see a little bit more of that too. Yeah. Hopper's been seemingly getting a little bit more time this week with the ones. I want to go back to the whole Simmons thing for just a moment. Cause I saw Ken Ingles tweet of like, you know, just posting something to the effect of, you know, the beat was tweeting about how, you know, how great he was looking and that there was the, yeah, I think it was either Josh Jacobs or Xavier McKinney was saying that he was going to play a lot. The other one called him a unicorn. And then like now it's like he's actually out on the field and he looks terrible. So just to give everyone kind of a peek behind the curtain on how some of this works when you're covering the team live and watching these players. And I've talked about this a little bit as well in the past, but nobody is going on a play being like, all right, there's 22 guys out there. This play, just watching Isaiah Simmons. You might from like a time to time watch, like I've done it a couple times with Jordan Morgan. All right, I want to watch Jordan Morgan on this play. I've done it a couple times with some of the interior defenders. And sometimes if you don't have a sense of like, all right, I want to watch the line on this play or like just in general, either the offensive line or defensive line, I may not pick it up as much. But for the most part, if you try to watch any one player, you're going to miss everything else that's happening. You're probably going to miss three or four things that are happening. And what usually happens on that rep is that one player did nothing extraordinary whatsoever. So now I just watched Isaiah Simmons on a play, got nothing out of it. Meanwhile, two or three other things happened that I didn't even get to see because I was trying to watch Isaiah Simmons on the play. So nobody's going out there and being like, all right, let's see if Isaiah Simmons is playing his assignments. Let's see what he's doing. Nobody's doing that. So what we're doing is we're watching the play unfold and then see how it develops, not necessarily just keeping an eye on the ball, but kind of keeping a purview for everything. You might see a wide receiver beat a corner. You might see a defensive end beat an offensive tackle, et cetera. But you're going to capture a few notes of like what happened on that play. We have no all 22. We have no instant replay. We have no anything. We are going through what do we see in real time. So on a lot of plays in camp, Isaiah Simmons with his freakish athletic ability was able to get sideline to sideline in a hurry and get to a player at a spot that you're like, wow, he flew over there. Or in coverage, you know, scale back in coverage and make a play on a ball or get to his, you know, from point A to point B. And again, to your point, there's not a lot that's going on early in camp. And especially when he was making a lot of this noise, a lot of it wasn't even in pads yet. And to your point, that matters a lot at linebacker. So there was a lot of good things that were going on. It's why I continued to say, hey, just be careful. You go watch the tape of Isaiah Simmons in Arizona or New York, and it's usually not a positive thing defensively. There's a lot of errors and issues that come up on tape. Let's see what it looks like. So I don't disagree with anyone that was saying like, yeah, he was having a really good, he looked again at through the very naked eye of what we get, like he was having a good camp. As soon as you get to the preseason tape, boom, actual Isaiah Simmons that we've seen in the NFL showed back up.
Yeah. And I could see a scenario where the team ends up keeping both and Welch and Simmons, you know, again, there's so many injuries up in the air. I don't even think a conversation about a 53 man roster is like even makes sense right now. Right.
Hard.
Like,
yep.
Yeah. Like it's just too tough.
Well, let's go through that just really quickly. Right. Because at wide receiver, we don't even know, like, there's four wide receivers that you're not sure, like, what's going on. And like, that could make them have to keep extra wide receivers depending on what the health of that is. Yeah. Again, at some of these, like Jacob Monk is as a hamstring injury, is, does that mean he might be one of those players that's a candidate for the IR designated to return? Like, that completely changes some of the calculus on the offensive line. And we can go like almost position by position. Zane Anderson is one that, like, if he goes into the season, are you just letting him go?
The DNs, like,
yeah, exactly.
Is all they're going to get pulled off, like, Barrett's rails hurt now. Like, yeah,
I mean, it's a near impossibility to work through it right now. I'm totally with
and
you.
And it doesn't even impact those guys too, right? Like, it's like I think Ben Sims's chances of making this team have gotten a lot better recently, just because of like, okay, you're going to need guys on that return team. And
Aaron Mosby is potentially one if Oliver doesn't get back. And we'll see that we did hear today that Baron Sorrell is an MCL and there's a chance that he could be back earlier. So that could maybe make it not as much for Mosby. But Mosby plays a lot of special teams too. And again, if Colin Oliver doesn't come back in time, that's the other one though too. If all of a sudden they activate Colin Oliver sometime in like the next week, and now you can't put him on PUP anymore, that changes the calculus there too of like, well, now you probably have to keep him because you're probably not cutting your fifth round defensive end after seeing him for a week. So yeah, there's just so many pieces in motion right now.
Yeah, it's a lot. By the way, the Packers, this is the only really interesting thing I have special teams wise. For the most part, they're rolling out the same guys, which I thought was really interesting. Like, they're really trying to get this group of guys a ton of reps so that they can bank them. So like, tight end 49. This is great.
Swinson. It's either Swinson or Johnny.
It is Swinson. Yeah. Okay. 48. My bad. Swinson. No, I was thinking of Deslin Alexandra.
49 Deslin Alexandra. Yeah.
The end. I would be very surprised if he wasn't brought back on the practice squad. They are trying to get that guy a ton of reps, and he might be, you know, one of those call-up guys that you bring up, and people are like, who the heck is that dude? And it's, yeah, he's not here to play defense. He's here to play special teams. That's what he's here for. But again, Brent Cox, not a guy who's getting basically any looks. One guy who's gotten an increased amount of looks is actually Ben Sims. They don't really play tight ends on the punt return team at all. Yeah. Because, you know, the way you structure it, right? You're either part of the punt rush, you're one of the linebackers, or you're one of the vices, right? And the Packers historically have been a team that like to have as many defensive ends as they possibly could at the line of scrimmage so that they could get after that punt rush, right? They're getting Ben Sims out there now, which I think is a sign that they're trying to kind of cross-train him and get him on the field more as a special teams guy, which should be your hint that the staff is warming up to the idea of keeping him around on the 53. Last year, he played the wing a little bit, but then kind of got like phased off when John Fitzpatrick came around. He played on the kickoff return team as a blocker. Didn't contribute on the return team. I think John Fitzpatrick had like 11 snaps on the punt return team last year, and he was the only tight end. Again, one of the pressure points on this roster is you can usually bank on any backup tight end to contribute on special teams, at least in the kick return game. They haven't done that with Luke Musgrave, right? So you're getting a tight, because you rostered Luke Musgrave, you have to roster a body like his on special teams that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Last thing about special teams, because I've been talking about this way too much, especially in the comment section at APC, whenever people talk about like my 53s and like stuff like that. So the NFL, touchback rate in the preseason this year is 1/3 of what it was last season during the regular season, right? Okay. So, you know, 2/3 of those fair catches are now out of play. If you get a touchback, that's going to set you up at the 35-yard line now. Last year, return average was somewhere around the 30-yard line. So teams were like, well, if it's the same, I'm just going to kick it out of the back of the end zone, and then I just don't have to assume any risk, right? Yeah. I'll take the 30.
You don't have to work as much time in practice on kick coverage and stuff like that too, yeah.
But that's gone now.
Yep.
So this is an important play, and it varies a lot. Like, I would say the average is probably between like the 20 and the 40, right? So you're talking about a 20-yard average, you know, on a basically like a down-to-down basis. That is not like this crazy outlier, right? I would say, you know, like 80% of the snaps are landing between 20 or 40 yards downfield when it's blown dead. Here's the issue that I don't think fans are realizing. The NFL in boardrooms decided to hit the make special teams more important button in consecutive off seasons, right? And did not expand the roster at all. So I think what people are looking at now, and fans are, I guess, just kind of catching up to this at this point, and are like, well, how many of these guys is, you know, that aren't starters is Rich Bisaccia going to be able to have input on and, you know, make this roster? Buddy, almost all of them.
Yeah.
Almost all of them. They have to play special teams now. The rosters have not expanded and they've made those roles more important. It's really that simple. Let me pull up, because I had numbers. This is great audio. I had numbers. You have to trust me. Okay, this doesn't matter. Let's look at my 53-man roster, and we can figure it out from there. Okay, so let's just talk about guys who don't play special teams and count them, and then see who is remaining, right?
Yeah.
Jordan Love, Malik Willis, they're not going to play special teams. Josh Jacobs doesn't play special teams. Emmanuel Wilson doesn't, right? Marshawn Lloyd doesn't. Let's not put him on the list because who knows if he's even going to make the 53. Yeah. Romeo Doubs, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, Savion Williams. Haven't seen any of them on special teams. Malik Heath helps you on the kick return game. Jaden Reed returns punts.
Savion might. He did get some reps as a punt gunner. It was actually pretty impressive, but he hasn't been able to get in preseason games. So it wouldn't entirely stun me, but you still probably have other players that are doing that ahead of him. I think he's probably more of like a backup gunner, if anything. So I'm with you.
Tucker Kraft, they're phasing him off of the punt protection. Okay. Luke Musgrave doesn't contribute on special teams. All of the offensive linemen, so you can add 9 players there. I'm talking about core 4. Those guys are going to end up helping on your field goal protection. I don't care. I do not care. The actual kicking game, like field goal block, don't care about it. We're up to 19 players. We haven't gone on the defensive side. Brenton Cox is a guy that we've talked about. Rashawn Gary is up there too, right? So we're up to
21.
I've lost count. 21 players.
You said 19. I think you said 19 on offense. Yeah.
Yeah. All 5 defensive tackles, right? Well, that's not fair. Let's go 4. Carl Brooks helps you as a punt rusher sometimes. He'll spell as a kind of like a defensive end type of role. So we're up to 26 guys. Linebackers, Quay and Cooper aren't going to be out there. They're going to play pretty much everyone else. We are now up to 28, if my count is still correct. Cornerback, I bet all of these guys will help. Maybe not Nate Hobbs, but at minimum, Keyshawn, I think, is still going to be the returner. All the safeties are going to help you. So, okay, we're at 28 guys. You have a 48-man roster.
Yep.
So you're left with 20 guys who could even possibly contribute on special teams.
And 3 of those are specialists already. Whelan, McManus, and Matt Orzech. Yeah, so right. 3 of them are specialists already.
So you're out of those, okay, now what, 17 guys? Out of those 17 guys, you have to find 7 guys who can both pass protect and then run after a punt on punt team. You have to find 2 gunners who can get off of the line against a cornerback, an NFL cornerback, and go make a tackle as the first point of contact on punt team.
Yep.
You have to find 10 guys who are going to block for the returner. You're going to have to find 5 guys who can rush after a punt. 2 guys who can play linebacker off that, 2 vices, all of, you know, your entire 10 man kickoff unit, right? Am I missing something? No, that's all the core four. So when people are like, well, how many of these roster spots is Bisaccia going to get? I'm like, he only gets like 17 dudes. And that's it. I mean, we're still including in that list, like Xavier McKinney and Evan Williams and Javon Bullard and Isaiah McDuffie, who might have to, you know, quote unquote, be the starter. Lucas Van Ness, who's going to start at defensive end. And it looks like he's going to contribute still on special teams, right? Keyshawn Nixon, he's going to be your number one corner and still be the kick returner. Like, there's not, with the NFL hitting this button twice in two off seasons in a row, there's not that many spots that you can not have, that you can have a backup that doesn't contribute on special teams, because there's so much dead weight toward the end of, you know, defensive tackle, offensive line, where it's just, those guys are just going to give you zero. And then you have certain guys like, some of the running backs, you know, Luke Musgrave, stuff like that, where they're just not going to give you any special team snaps. Like, it's important. I'm sorry. You could be mad about it. You can write the NFL a letter and say, why'd you guys make, you know, a third of special teams way, 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 way more important without expanding the rosters or the game day roster or anything?
Yep.
But this is the reality we're living in right now.
And they already, like, the kind of the MO is like, hey, those final spots are going to come down to special teams. It's even, I think it's even more so now than it ever has been.
It is a great life right now to be a tight end or a linebacker.
If you can play team.
You've never been like that fourth linebacker, that sixth linebacker, that fourth tight end has never been more important than in today's game where, you know, that matchup on kick return can be the difference of 20 yards.
Yep. Not only that, with the advent of people crushing 70 yard field goals, you're a first down away from basically being and somewhat being facetious, but like some of these 60 yard field goals, you're like, you get to the 40 yard line, you're darn near field goal range for some of these kickers now.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, again, I really do think it's as simple as the NFL hit the make special teams more important button, and they've done it twice, and they haven't expanded the rosters. And I think a lot of people are going to be probably mad on cut down day because their favorite guy didn't make it. But it's like, you're just like, again, this comes back to eating my hat, right? I just don't think that like modern NFL roster, like you just can't afford to have six defensive tackles. I really
I'm more leaning in your direction with that. I am a little bit, actually, it helped me a little bit with all the injuries, I feel like, and like maybe not keeping four running backs and maybe like some other spots where it might actually give them some flexibility. But I tend to agree. Also, Stackhouse hasn't exactly lit the world on fire I would say the last couple of weeks either. So that
they ran around him. Indeed, they ran around him. And I guess I should have talked about that. Like, that was one of my kind of takeaways. Now, he was going against like Bortolini, right? Who I thought was pretty good, really agile offensive lineman, stuff like that. But he reached him real good two times when he had leverage pre-snap. I'm talking about Stackhouse. And Bortolini just makes up the difference with his feet. One time he ended up, I think he cut off Hopper. Like, he got reached, so it's outside zone, right? His outside shoulder is free. Bortolini starts from his inside, works to his outside, gets that, pins him back, moves him off the ball. And because he moved him off the ball and pinned him back, Tyron Hopper ends up getting caught in the mix and basically, you know, runs into Stackhouse's back and isn't able to make the play over top of him. Those are bad reps that I don't think people are really paying attention to. I mean, it took me, I don't know, 3 hours into a film study to even get to that play. So I don't know how many people are actually spending the time to learn that.
It was funny. So in camp, he had flashed on multiple different occasions of just holding up at the point of attack. There was,
I mean,
also
he did well on like the short yardage stuff, like that stuff. I get, it's just, there's really not a lot of versatility to his game. Whereas like Brinson's getting reps at three technique. I think he's a little bit lighter on his feet. They have him doing stuff.
Brinson's like, way better.
They have both of those guys working on like field goal protection, which, like, okay, if you want Zach Tom to get a breather on that instead of having to do like step downs and deal with stuff around his knee or something. Okay, sure. I still don't think field goal protection is that important. But Stackhouse is like, he's like a 72 overall guy, right? But the problem is he's like a 72 overall, like run stuffer. And then he's like 50 in everything else that you have to do as a defensive tackle. So I think he'd be a great guy to have as a situational call up. I think he's a great guy to have in practice situations, right?
Yep.
Like, you know, you want your offensive lineman in inside run to be able to face a guy like that. I just don't know if he's a guy you can consistently have on the 53 because there's just so many other guys that you'll actually want to activate with those 48 than him. So
what I was going to say too, is that despite the fact that he was having some of those plays, there were also even in camp, and we saw it in preseason a lot too, where he would get knocked off of his spot or he would get reached relatively easily and they would be able to run by him. So again, I think, I don't know if, again, this is sort of a Madden brain thing, which again, we're just, we're buying into by giving people 73 overalls. I totally get it. I love it as well. But no, I think, you know, we see 6'4", 330 pounds or whatever, and we're like, all right, run stuffing defensive tackle. I mean, Jonathan Ford is such a great example of this. The 7th round pick that Green Bay had, big dude, just never could really win the leverage battle enough to actually get on to the
52. I do think Stackhouse is better than him. I think he's better than Ford. I will say that.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's not a super high bar to reach, to be fair. Is Ford still kicking it with the Bears right now? I think he probably is.
I don't know.
I think he actually got playing time. Yeah, in the regular season last year, he actually got some playing time. It was not great. So hopefully he can stay on there. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. An absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. As you go back to this, I kind of want to just bring it back one more time. And I know, again, it's a lot of special teams talk, but this is such like a real indicator of who is probably going to make this team. So if anyone wants
also, to the starters didn't play last week. What the hell else?
Exactly. which players, in your opinion, are helped the most? You mentioned Ben Sims, Christian Welch might be another one. Are there any other players that you look at and say, keep an eye out for this player because they are either playing more special teams or they could just be buoyed by their special teams ability?
Okay. So those two, so Sims is the only guy I see where it's like stock up, right? Where it's things have changed. He's now being put in a position to get more of those snaps. I will say Sorrell was getting like almost every special team snap. It was pretty clear that they wanted him. They wanted him to make the roster and they wanted him to play a ton of special team snaps. And I think that makes a lot of sense because he probably was going to start as the fifth defensive end on the depth chart going into the regular season. And Brenton Cox doesn't contribute on special teams. Right. Yep. So, you know, someone's got to play. Someone's got to play on special teams. You know, from that backup role. And Kingsley Enagbar has been doing that. He's done that for a long time too. As far as guys who really help you, I will say, I think there's only two guys on this roster who are special teams only. Okay. Where it's like, they're here not because of what they do on offense or defense. It's because of what they do on special teams. And then they might be able to get you out of a pinch you know, game days because of injuries or something like that. But if those guys have to start, you're probably signing someone else that week, figuring something else out. And that's Aaron Mosby, who's like the sixth defensive end on the depth chart right now, even though he's a core four starter on all four special teams units. And that's not including if Colin Oliver ever gets called up, he could very well be seventh. And then Christian Welch. I don't think there's a plan to get Welch on the field defensively, but he's here to do a lot of special teams. Now, with that being said, guys who also contribute elsewhere on the roster who help a ton, Chris Brooks, he plays the center position on the kickoff return unit. His job, I don't know if people realize this, it's basically like a 50-50 split when on returns right now. And it's the scheme is basically one half of it is we're double teaming the middle guy. And it's just going to be like inside run basically. And we're going to take out whoever, you know, that center guy is on the kickoff team. And Chris Book, you know, is part of that double team. He's very important for them. The other half of the kick return stuff is like all the pin and pulls and, you know, the reverses and all that stuff. He also helps you in punt protection, right? So he's a pretty big deal. Jaden Reed, obviously a returner. Malik Heath is really interesting because he's like the only wide receiver Bisaccia has ever trusted to be a blocker on the kickoff return unit. John Fitzpatrick plays a ton. I don't think that they want him on the punt return unit, but they've used him there. He'll play on field goal protection. He obviously plays on the kickoff return team as a blocker. He's one of the shield guys, you know, behind the, you know, what you would think of as like the offensive line on the punt team. He's really important for them. Sims, again, you know, he was more of a kickoff return guy, but it seems like they're trying to work him into different spots right now. Van Ness and Igbare and Mosby are all starters on the punt team as, you know, basically offensive linemen. Like that's what Bisaccia wants to do. He wants to put those guys and then like an Isaiah McDuffie up front. You're blocking pass rushers. And then once the ball is punted, you go and cover the punt. And Igbare, Van Ness, like they all help basically on every phase. Van Ness doesn't play kickoff and stuff like that. They give these guys little breathers. Isaiah McDuffie is another guy who doesn't play kickoff. But all of those guys are very important, which is, again, you're talking about Van Ness and Igbare, Aaron Mosby, Baron Sorrell got a ton of reps. And you're like, Brandon Cox is really sticking out like a sore thumb, right? I get why you don't want to play Rashawn Gary on special teams. That guy's worth 20 whatever million dollars per year. Brent Cox isn't there. What's going on with that situation?
He's got to be good on defense to justify that spot for sure. And that he's kind of like that fringe guy too. It's a very interesting one.
And on practice on, I believe, Monday, Lucas Van Ness is out with a back injury. So there's an opportunity to establish a pecking order here. And it's not Brent Cox who gets called up. It's Kingsley and Igbare who got those first team snaps. So again, another thing that's important, like, maybe Sorrell goes on injured reserve around cutdowns, whether it's actual cutdown day or the day after, right? Brent Cox makes the team. I don't think that means Brent Cox is necessarily going to be on the team in week six, you know, when he's eligible to come off of injured reserve. Carl Brooks, basically the only defensive tackle who's relevant on special teams. They really like his athleticism and the fact that he can rush after the passer and do the punt team stuff. McDuffie, Hopper, Welsh, studs, every single one of them. All of them are studs in the special teams unit. I'm really excited about what Hopper's done on the defensive side this year because he looks so much better. Simmons, again, weird guy. He's been playing punt gunner. He's playing safety, all that. But all the defensive backs, basically, just all of the defensive backs. Bo Melton does so many things. Corey Ballantyne does so many things. I think that's really interesting. I have no beat on what they're going to do with the fifth corner spot.
Have you seen anything from Micah Robinson on special teams?
He does some stuff as a vice, nothing that stood out. The most interesting thing about Micah Robinson to me is they're playing Haddon and King over him, right?
So Haddon, that was a change in practice this week. Robinson moved ahead of Haddon.
Well, I can't say Haddon had a great outing last week against the Colts. So the Packers secondary was getting messed up. The Colts were running a bunch of switch routes. They probably ran it like four times in the passing game, and several Packers messed it up. I think Haddon had one. Bo had one that didn't get thrown to, I think. And basically the team is in cover three. They're supposed to be spot drop zone. The problem is, number one, the outside receiver is running a post. So the outside corner is like, I'm just going to follow it. Problem is, there's a wheel route right behind it, and it's butt naked wide open. There were a lot of those issues. I think, which corner got hurt? I'm not talking about Omar Brown. Wasn't there a corner who got hurt?
I don't think there's only the three. It was Marshawn Lloyd, it was Omar Brown, and Baron Sorrell, I think, were the only three that got hurt in the game.
I'm trying to think, because I feel like, or maybe it was the Indy wide receiver who got hurt.
That could have been.
But there was some sort of, there was like a bang-bang play on one of those wheel routes where there's a pretty big collision and someone went down. But yeah, I mean, those are the names I would throw out there. I mean, basically, if you want to do it in a very concise manner, like Fitzpatrick, Sims, Brooks, Heath, every backup on the defense other than
Brenton Cox,
defensive tackle, and Brenton Cox. Yeah. Yep. So that's the shortest answer I can give you.
Good to know. All right, let's take special teams aside. Was there anybody in this game play-wise that you thought hurt, or we kind of talked about Haddon hurting his chances a little bit based on how he played? Was there anyone that hurt or helped their chances based on actual offense or defense in this game?
Jennings. Oh yeah.
No, that's what I meant. Just adding it on there.
Yeah. Jennings, I'm willing to open up the Kadeem Telfort door that I shut after family night. I'm willing to scour through the waiver wire and track which of these guys the Packers had in on visits over the last 3 years and stuff like that. I'm open to any possibility with that situation. Looking at the raw, I mean, Simmons, another guy, right? That we've already brought up. I don't think Hopper's at any risk of being cut, but we're 2 out of 2 now. On him playing
really good.
Better than he did last year, which I think might be a positive sign for. I know we're not watching Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper right now, but we switched at linebacker coach, and we're still seeing progression at linebacker. So maybe this is a halfway thing, right? Which
could be.
Hey, I'm all for it. This wasn't a game note, but Colby Wooden, he got in behind Kenny Clark again when Kenny Clark was out with injury in practice. He's the third defensive tackle. People are going to be mad about it.
They shouldn't be. He's at a good camp. Like I'm okay with that right now.
Yeah. And Igbari is looking better. You know, he doesn't have crazy splash plays, but just consistently like down to down, he looks so much better than he did last year when he was coming off of the knee. And I think a lot of us just forget or like just don't account that he was dealing with that knee and kind of lost an offseason and all that stuff. Yep. So I'm definitely way more optimistic about him right now. Like, I think Barra was a guy that we had talked about where it's like, if the Packers really want to get like ticky-tacky and stuff like that and like
save some money.
Yeah, he got the increase from the proven performance escalator and stuff. And maybe you do the, who was it, Royce Newman thing where you renegotiate that number down and kind of meet in the middle. Nah, man, he should make that $3 million or whatever it is. Like,
I'm with you. Yeah, I think that conversation's done. He's got it. He's in. I'd be pretty surprised if anything happened to him at this point.
Yeah. So that's kind of, honestly, that's kind of it, because we didn't get a ton of looks. Like, Emmanuel Wilson still looks like Emmanuel Wilson.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yep.
I just didn't know if they had room for both him and Lloyd. And Lloyd is a top 100 pick. And I think if you're in flip a coin territory, then I think you lean top 100 pick. But now with this injury, I mean, I don't even know if that conversation's relevant at this point.
Yeah, that's the whole Lloyd thing, very, very frustrating and disappointing to say the least. Hopefully it's not anything too long and can be back soon, but even then you just got to prove that he can actually stay on the field and stay healthy. There are a couple of spots.
I was just going to say, speaking of injuries, shout out Omar Brown. That man popped a lung on the opening kickoff and played 12 more minutes of game time.
Yeah.
Nah, man, football players are crazy for a preseason game.
Yep.
And for a preseason game.
Yeah.
No way. No way. One of my buddies, Trill Withers on Twitter, always says, he had a tweet that like went viral and he was like, if I ever got carted out of a stadium, I'm giving them the thumbs down instead of the thumbs up. That's all I can think of.
It's not going great.
I popped a lung in a preseason game, played 12 more minutes. I'm getting carted out with the oxygen mask on. Thumbs down territory.
Yeah, I feel for that guy. Hopefully he's out soon. I mean, it's not ideal, obviously. He's still in the hospital. I mean,
Matt said he's doing better, right? But they just haven't released him.
Right. Take the time, whatever you need.
Yeah.
Yeah, scary situation. That. Two spots I wanted to talk to you about. QB3. What's your weapon of choice in this epic QB3 battle? We'll be right back. Hey everyone, I have to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out called Prealcohol. Now, ZBiotics Prealcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Prealcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make Prealcohol your first drink of the night, drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit on the fence about Prealcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm legit telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather. And before that backyard barbecue brew, glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, don't forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on that next day and all that summer has to offer. Go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use the code packaday at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code PACKADAY.
What is a practice squad quarterback? Is a practice squad quarterback a guy who's supposed to give you looks, or is a practice squad quarterback supposed to be a guy that you're trying to develop? I mean, these are real questions, right? It's the same thing with like the Stackhouse thing, and where I brought that up, where it's like, it's good to have that body in there so that you can get good looks against a certain trait. Like I know, so when we were with the XFL, a team tried to sign PJ Walker, who was like a scrambling quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers tried to sign PJ Walker for just 1 week when we had him under contract to the practice squad so that he could simulate Lamar Jackson for them, right? In practice. Yeah. Now he was under contract with us, so we said no. He ended up signing with another NFL team, you know. Didn't mess up his career or anything like that. I wasn't even part of that decision. I was just told the story. But really the practice squad, like you're trying to simulate what other teams are doing, right? If you don't have something on the back end of your roster that you can give for the scout team look, you want to add at least a person with those type of traits onto your practice squad. I think too many people think of it as like a developmental program when it's not necessarily that. It's a lot of guys like Deslin Alexander, where, you know, most fans probably spent zero thought on who the heck this guy is. And the Packers
I've talked about him.
Well, the Packers are like, that is my emergency special teams guy in case, you know, Mosby's cut, Brent Cox can't play special teams. We get, you know, another injury at defensive end and Sorrell is still on IR, right? Like that's the guy that they're going to call up. So I think El Gersma is probably the project. Right, that you want. I think even in the indie game, there was a couple balls where, you know, you're seeing high velocity throws and things like that. The clock mentally right now for all NFL speed,
yeah,
it's not good.
A little jumpy in the pocket too, like just
I know we're talking about like a guy who's probably 23, right? But he was like, you almost have to view him as like a sport convert.
Yeah,
like the CFL game is so different than what the NFL is doing, and even the way Matt's talked about it, where he's like, he's just trying to even get like used to the spacing on the field and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't take too much out of it other than he clearly isn't ready. But I also don't like, buddy, I don't think Sean Clifford's going to get any better. I think we've gotten like he's every ounce that Sean Clifford has, he has used and maximized.
Yeah.
Him for it. He's gotten a lot of NFL checks for it. I just don't think that the arrow is ever going to move up. So it's really a question of, do you think Malik can do all the scout team stuff that, you know, you would need Sean Clifford to do?
And if that's true, like you sign like a Malik Cunningham, who's been on the Ravens as a wide receiver that has been played quarterback in college, that you can like do something like that or figure out another unique way. But yeah, to me, there's a couple things. Again, if you're just going pure like developmental, yeah, it's very clearly Elgersma. It wouldn't totally stun me if they found somebody off a waiver or like not waivers, I guess, because you're not signing some, but like a different quarterback that was out there that to be the third quarterback here. That wouldn't totally stun me. Do you think there's any chance that they would keep two quarterbacks on the practice squad?
Not if we keep having all these injuries, man.
Yeah. Also, I just think again, what does Sean Clifford get you at this point? If he has to go in a game, you're beyond screwed anyway. And yes, maybe the scout team stuff he can probably do just from his mobility a little bit better than maybe Elgersma can. But yeah, I don't know.
But you can have Malik do that.
Yes, very true.
Right. So, like, what does he bring to the table that Malik doesn't? I mean, it's hard to say some of those things without actually like sitting in the quarterback room, right?
For sure.
Like, I don't know how these guys view football, or if it's like, you know, there's always the stuff of what's his name, Sorgi, who was behind like Peyton, and he was just basically like an assistant offensive coordinator. Like, yes. I don't know if like Clifford's like helping Jordan Love a lot with prep. Like, a lot of guys hang out in the league because they're professionals, not super competitive, and actually trying to like push that starting quarterback, and are helpful in terms of
Doug Peterson.
Great example.
So. Yeah, that is an interesting one. I think I'd go with Elgersma, but I could also see them maybe trying something else at that spot, but we'll see. Last one, it's your prediction for left tackle. You Jordan Morgan, you Rashid Walker, you both. What are we doing?
I think it's going to be Rashid. I think they're going to try to rotate him again. I think they want to bank snaps for Jordan Morgan so that he could take over as the left tackle in 2026. I think it's very telling that as soon as anyone on the offensive line so much as gets a sniffle, the next man up at another position is Jordan Morgan, and Rashid is back to left tackle starting. So until I see otherwise, I'm going to assume Rashid Walker is a left tackle only, and he is one of the Packers' best five, and the Packers are going to operate off of that assumption and move Jordan Morgan around to keep, you know, every other position whole kind of filled.
I'm there as well. I think they're gonna split time at left tackle is my guess. Like you said, kind of bank some snaps.
If Tom goes down, what do you think happens? This is
Morgan. Morgan goes to right tackle.
You think so?
Yeah,
I think it's Belton. But
you think it's Belton? I think it's Morgan.
Has he gotten right tackle snaps? He hasn't on film.
I don't think so, and I still think it's Morgan. But okay. maybe you're right. Maybe
Morgan's right. Morgan's coming in at left and right guard, right? When there's injuries and stuff like when
yes, Banks goes both down, sides. Yes, he hasn't done center, but yes, he's gone left guard, right guard, left tackle. Obviously, he's not done any center. I can't recall him getting right tackle. This is just ultimate Packers best five. Like they're going to get their best five guys out there, and I still think it would be the. I mean, they could. It could be Rashid too. They could do Rashid at right tackle and Morgan at left tackle because she'd play right tackle his first year with Green Bay, if I remember correctly, or whenever he got healthy. I think that first preseason game where he finally played, he was at right tackle, if I remember. So he could be somebody that they just moved to right tackle as well, but I think they will best five that thing. And if Tom went down, and God willing, that does not happen, I think you'll still see Morgan and Walker at left and right tackle. I just don't know which one's which. What where are you at with Belton? Do you think Belton could hold up at right tackle right now?
He had 5 penalties in a quarter.
It's a feat.
He's still rough around the edges. He's still rough around the edges. I've said this since draft day, right? I still think he's going to be the right guard in 2026, and Jordan Morgan is going to be the left tackle in 2026. And I know they haven't practiced Belton at guard, but nothing I've seen so far has changed my opinion.
They never seem to like Sean Ryan. I think I just like Sean Ryan better than the Packers like Sean Ryan. I wouldn't give up on, if I were Green Bay, I would at least have a conversation about potentially bringing him back and then figuring out the rest from there. But I'll also not for nothing, he has played center reps as well, and you could theoretically lose Jenkins.
Yeah. I mean, if Jenkins goes down, I assume.
No, I'm saying for next year, if Jenkins is gone at 20 mil, they don't want to pay it. Would you rather have Jenkins at 20 mil or would you rather have Sean Ryan at 10 to 12 mil? I'd probably go Jenkins, but there could be a conversation there.
Yeah.
We'll see.
See if we have money after we trade for Micah Parsons.
What is your best odds of the Packers making a transaction for Micah and or Trey? Well, not and or Trey Hendrickson and would be great.
5%.
That's higher than I would have expected from you, quite honestly. That's actually higher.
Well, things are just getting so bad in both spots that I'm like, can he even save this marriage? I don't know.
One of them at least gets traded, right? What are your odds that one of them gets traded? Period.
I don't know, 2/3.
I was going to say 65%, somewhere in there. So we're in the same range there. I just can't. Can you imagine if Micah actually does become available in 31 teams, I guess maybe not including the NFC East, because there's no way they're going to trade
him. Everyone can afford him right now.
That's true. That's true.
And not everyone is going to be picking in the 20s. So who knows if they're going to be willing to give that up. Rappaport said it's going to be something similar to the Khalil Mack trade compensation wise if it happens. Khalil Mack went for less than 2 first round picks. It was 2 first round picks and then pick swaps to get the Raiders
less,
to get the Bears back more value. So you're talking about pick number 28. Actually, screw that. Pick number 32, pick number 32, and I'm getting picks back with Mike Parsons.
I'm in. Can we just really quick, just for no reason other than I want to kind of talk about it. Can we go back to picks 2 and 3 in the NFL draft really quick? So the Browns had pick 2, the Giants had pick 3, the Browns trade out, they get a haul from Jacksonville. They're going to get a future first round pick. That thing could be super valuable. So in the moment, really like that deal for Cleveland. Pick 2, then Jacksonville goes Hunter. Pick 3 goes Abdul Carter. I'm sure you've watched a little of Abdul Carter so far. That dude looks in freaking insane. And if he ends up being that good, I'm kind of a believer. I'd probably still take that deal if I'm Cleveland, just because the Jacksonville pick could be so valuable. But
yes,
yeah, for sure. But there's a piece of me too that the one thing you do if you're a bad team is get something that's great to begin with, that you can hang your hat on. I don't know what you do with Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter if those two are on the same defensive line together. That could be legitimately one of the most disgusting defensive end pairings of all time. I'm just nothing else other than long story. In the long term, I'm very interested to see the number 2 pick being, obviously Travis Hunter, what that looks like and becomes for Jacksonville, number 3 for Abdul Carter. And then do the Browns regret not taking one of those rather than getting the haul from Jacksonville? Just nothing else other than I'm very interested to see how this ends up.
Very. Because they do not own their future first. And that is pretty crazy. Because I don't think that this football team is very good. From my understanding, Liam Coleman, the Jaguars have obviously been in flux for a long time. And I think somehow the man who is able to seize power from an owner who's willing to pay people but isn't really hands-on. I know people say they want a hands-off owner, just pay for everything, swipe the credit card and get out.
Yep.
That happens in Jacksonville, right? But then there's a power vacuum. And over the last six seasons or something like that, that power vacuum has been Trent Baalke.
Yeah, not great.
Does not play well with others. Yeah. But, you know, this thing gets dragged out, right? Like, Baalke didn't – what, they couldn't hire a head coach because Baalke was still there.
And they nobody wanted to work with him.
Yes. Yep. But the whole narrative was the Jaguars just basically trying to stomp out the bad PR of no one wants this job because Baalke is still here, right? So they make the late hire with Liam Cohen. They give him all the money. There was all the drama in Tampa, right? Because didn't he get like a contract extension with Tampa or something?
And then he didn't show up. It was just a really weird situation. Yeah, it was really odd.
There was chaotic stuff, man. Dude, I heard like Chip Kelly was supposed to get the OC job in Jacksonville, and then like things fell through. They got down to like their third candidate for like offensive line coach. It was a mess. The man who seized power was Tony Boselli.
Okay.
And I think Liam Cohen didn't like that so much, that Tony Boselli, James Gladstone, these guys are, you know, they're setting up the draft board and it's, you know, this defensive player, this defensive player, this defensive player. And the way it was told to me was Liam Cohen basically walked into the room kind of, I mean, good for, I mean, he fought for, I think it's a stupid trade, but he fought for himself. So I'm going to give him credit for that. And was basically like, F it, you brought me here to run a juiced up offense, right? Why are we going to spend this fifth overall pick on a defender? Or I think Gladstone wanted Ashton Jeanty. I think Boselli wanted an offensive. I think he probably would have taken, like, I can't remember he was there, but Will
McDonald?
No. The offensive tackle from LSU.
What the hell is his name?
Will
McDonald was the Jet. Why can't I think Will Campbell? Will Campbell, right?
Yes, Will Campbell. Campbell. So Liam Cohen was basically like, go get me Travis Hunter. And then everyone was like, that's great. We really didn't want to take the running back at the fifth overall spot, but that was the best guy that we had on our board. So if you're willing to fall on the sword for this guy, we'll go do it. And now after all this time of everyone saying like, oh yeah, Travis will play defense. And then on third downs, he'll come in at receiver. Now he's a full-time receiver and he's going to dabble on defense. And we're going to see what that's like.
It's going to be interesting.
While we remind ourselves, Jacksonville doesn't own their first round pick next year. And which is insane. And probably,
the only thing that might save that is the AFC South. Like, who knows what that division's going to look like.
Oh, my God, dude. Daniel Jones, starting quarterback. Did he do anything?
The Texans just have to run away with that, right? Like, just beyond run away with that division.
They got it. Because I don't think the Titans are ready for that. I mean,
no.
I don't know. I haven't really watched the offseason stuff. I know they've been slowly building up that offensive line year over year, but I don't think the Titans are there.
Nope. I don't think so either. I think the Colts are going to be one of the worst teams in football. I think they're going to be really freaking bad. We'll see.
And then Ballard, I can't remember if it was Ballard or Steichen was talking about, yeah, we don't need Anthony Richardson to like be the guy this year. I'm like, dog.
This is your sign.
This is your sign, man. Fire the coach early.
Yeah. He's going to be the seventh round pick he's going to get traded for a seventh round pick to the Packers next year at the, you know, at cutdown time. He's going to be the new Malik Willis.
Great. I'd love it.
I would be very ecstatic. Well, I don't know if ecstatic, but I would definitely take
that. Ballard's going to trade for him. He's back working with us as like a
could be
front office guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those draft clips where they're cheering in the draft room as like the other players get taken and then they end up taking somebody that doesn't work out. Those are not probably going to age very well. No. Would be my guess. There's a reason Green Bay doesn't air their draft footage there's a variety of different reasons, but yeah, some of those are not going to age well over time. That's for sure. Justice, I cannot thank you enough. Any final thoughts before we get out of here?
No. I think it's all out of my system now.
I'm happy we can help you with that and just get this is sort of like your almost like week in review of like all the stuff and the work that you've done and you put up for APC and everything. Yeah. And now you just get to regurgitate it all in one spot.
Yep. That's what I'm doing. someone find Brent Cox a spot to play on special teams. It would help us a lot.
I'll say this. The Brandon McManus emergency punting did not go very well this week. So if he can develop as an emergency punter, it would be something. It would be something. That's great. His next thing.
I saw he was wearing a referee uniform in practice today.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know how that comes about.
They're just clowning around, man.
And my guess is it's, hey, you're not going to kick today. And he says, all right, I'm going to referee. And they're like, all right, you do, yeah, go for it. That's probably how that went down. All right, Justice, cannot thank you enough. Follow him at JUMOSQ, acmepackingcompany.com. Anything else you want to plug?
No, man. That's all right, easy enough. Work.
Easy enough. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL podcast, at Packaday podcast. We'll be back next week. Of course, I'll be back here tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.